2 weeks ago, when many of us came to Sunday school and church, we found that everyone was talking about an article, a wonderful article that had appeared that very morning in the Dallas Morning News. It was an article that reported the truly remarkable faith and assurance and worship of a family who had undergone a tremendous tragedy just very recently. It was an article about the Darby family. And you will recall that that family, the parents lost 4 of their 5 children and one of their own parents in a terrible automobile accident this year. The article spoke very forthrightly and very clearly and very honestly about the experience that that family went through. And the article set forth, and we praise God for this, very clearly also the gospel as that family testified to the grace, to the comfort, to the assurance, to the blessing that God had poured on upon them, even in the midst of that great tragedy. All of those who read it were moved by it. I'll have to confess, maybe to a little cynicism, I had not read the article that morning, but we went home from church and we read it, and we were moved as everyone else was, I'm sure. But again, I'll have to confess a bit of cynicism as I read. I thought, well, is this like so many? They say what they know they're supposed to say. They've learned all the words. They know how to set forth a good image. They can talk the talk, but I couldn't help but wonder if really they could walk the walk, if this really was just something kind of outside, but not really on the inside. Well, this past Christmas Day, Georgia and I spent a good part of that day with that family. And I tell you, beloved, it's genuine. Now they have a peace and a joy and a contentment. Now that is very rare, even in those who know little of tragedy. We spent the day also in the company of a young lady, 7, maybe 8 years of age, beautiful girl, tall, slender, dark, flashing eyes, but she has the mind of an infant. And I thought, as I observed her family loving her and caring for her and so at peace and so contented, and I thought, how can this be? Their daughter will probably never laugh or cry with understanding at Bambi and Thumper or at Dorothy and Coco. Now, she'll probably never have a date and never dress up for a prom. She'll never stand at an altar and say, I do. She'll never cradle her own baby in her arms. And yet that family, so at peace, so radiant with the joy of Jesus Christ, it was real. Later that same day, we were at Children's Hospital and then at a nursing home here in Dallas. And there and at the nursing home, we found people whose lives were shattered by tragedy. At the hospital and then at the nursing home, many, many dear people who had lost everything that you and I more or less take for granted and look upon as necessities for life. They were all gone for most of those people. Their family was gone. Their friends had died. The lovely home, the automobiles, the boats, the places at the lake, all of the opportunities to travel, to fellowship, it was all gone. And yet after the carols and the cookies, there were hugs and there were pats and there were tears and there was radiance and there was joy and there was life and vitality. And these people testified again and again to the grace of God. And there are some of you, I know many of you, there are some of you in great pain this morning. You know sorrow and weeping and fear. The new year is not looked forward to with great anticipation. For it holds for you, as best as you can tell, it holds for you death or disease or financial ruin or great disappointment or shame. How can you face the new year with a great sense of safety and security, knowing that you are all right, no matter what happens to this world or in this world, you and your loved ones in Christ are all right? Well, God's Word gives us a wonderful answer to questions like that. God's Word tells us where peace and joy, contentment and satisfaction, no matter what our circumstances, are to be found. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. I hope you brought your Bible. Always bring your Bible to church and Sunday school. But if you didn't, there's a Bible in the pew rack. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33. We'll not begin reading at this moment, but I want you to look first at verse 28. Here is a chapter where we are told of the blessing that belongs to the people of God. And notice that in verse 28 of Deuteronomy chapter 33, we are told that Israel is safe. In the next phrase, we are told that Jacob is secure. We're told that Israel and Jacob are in the land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop their dew, and so they are abundantly satisfied. We are told in verse 29 that they are saved by Jehovah. And again in verse 29, we are told that they are shielded by God, who is their helper and their sword. And we're told then in the latter part of that same verse, the last clause or phrase in the chapter, that they are fully successful. They trample on their enemies. This is a description of the people of God. This is a description of Israel. The people of God are safe, they are secure, they are satisfied, they are shielded before and behind, they are fully successful. But is that true of you? You profess to be a child of God. You call yourself a Christian, a believer. All of these things are to be yours, but are they? And if they are not, how can they be? Let's give our attention to this reading of the Word of God, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 33. We'll read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll skip down to verse 26 and read to the end of the chapter. This is God's Word, so let us stand as we read it. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came with myriads of holy ones. From his right hand, a fiery law for them. Surely it is you who love the people. All the holy ones are in your hand. At your feet they all bow down, and from you receive instruction, the law that Moses gave us, the possession of the assembly of Jacob. He was king over Jeshurun when the leaders of the people ascended along with the tribes of Israel." And now at verse 26. "There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, 'Destroy him.' So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places." Amen. You may be seated. In this marvelous chapter, we have Moses, the aged prophet now, the parent, you might say, of the people of God, the great prophet and their parent, giving the blessing to his family before he passes on. And this is the chapter, then, which speaks of the blessing of God's people. And we find in the chapter that there is no God like the God of Israel, and there is no people like the Israel of God. Moses blesses the people. And in the blessing, he tells them that the source of their blessing is to be found in God himself. God is their blessing. God is the source of their blessing. You'll notice that first verse along with the second. It is God who comes to his people and enters into covenant with them. And Moses speaks of the glory of the covenant in terms of the majesty and glory of Jehovah as he manifested himself at Sinai. We're told there that his glory shone upon on the people like the brilliance of the sun radiates upon the earth in a bright morning. God rose like the sun and shined upon his people at Sinai. He came from the heavens with thousands upon thousands of his holy angels, holding them in his hands. There is no one like God. No one like the God of Jeshurun. No one like the God of Israel. None like him who rules in the heavens with almighty power, who rules with unlimited omnipotence, the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God. He is the source of the blessing of his people. And one of the greatest of all blessings that he gave them was the blessing of the law. You might have noticed that I read that second verse a little bit differently than it appears in the NIV. But in the Hebrew, it could just as well read, he came with myriads of holy ones from his right hand a fiery law for them. There's a great lesson there on the law itself. This wonderful description of the fiery law. But we want to call our attention to the fact, you see, that God came with the law. He came speaking to his people. He brought the law. This is their precious possession. This is that which distinguished Israel from all others of the nations. They received the word of God. They possessed the law from the mouth of God. This law is the law of the great king. This law is that by which he governs his people. And is then this blessing from Jehovah, the living God, the God of heaven and of earth, who by means of his word, the covenant of his love, gathers his people to himself. He gives himself to his people in his word. He is the source of their blessing. And beloved, he is the ground of their blessing. The ground of their security. Notice I didn't say the ground of their sense of security. The ground of their feelings of safety. No, he is the ground of their security. He who is infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably secure and safe is the ground of our security. We may not always feel that, but that does not change him. And it does not change our security. He is the ground of our security. You see, our security is not founded upon ourselves. It's not founded even upon our faith. Our security is not founded upon our perseverance in the faith or our righteousness or even our sincerity, which seems to cover everything these days. If we're sincere, it's all right. As Charlie Brown says, how can we lose? We're so sincere. None of these things are the ground of our security. No, you see, our faith is always shot through with sin and doubt. Our perseverance is always on again, off again. We do not really persevere. We are not consistent and constant in our love and in our obedience. Our righteousness is no righteousness at all in the presence of God. And our sincerity, you know and I know that our hearts are full of hypocrisy. If our security is founded upon anything in us, beloved, we are of all men most miserable. But don't you see that our security is grounded in God Himself? Isn't that what we're taught in these precious verses? Look again at verses 26 and 27 following. Isn't He telling us there that our security is grounded upon the person and the presence of God? The eternal God is your refuge. You see, that's the ground, that's the foundation. The eternal God is your refuge. Isaiah said it like this, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." See, it's the person, the presence of God, who is the security of His people. Our security is found in our union with Him. We dwell in Him who is eternally the same. Don't you love that beautiful 27th verse? The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Don't you understand that the word refuge means the eternal God is our home? That's the word in the Hebrew. The eternal God is our dwelling place. The eternal God is our mansion. He is our home. He is our safety and our security. Now, tragically, in these days, home is not synonymous with safety and security. It once was in the Western world. Even I, as young as I am, can remember a time when home was almost a synonym for safety and security. I remember a time when I was, I guess, about 8 or 9 years of age. It was on a Friday evening after school. We'd been playing basketball, and we played and we played and we played and we played, and began to grow dark, and we kept right on playing as always, and we played right up into the darkness. And then it was time to go home, past time to go home. And I started home maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles away. Those were in the days before carpools and parents picking up children and all the rest. We walked everywhere, even at night and even alone. And I started walking home, and the darkness grew darker and blacker. And every shadow became an enemy, and every sound became a goblin. And pretty soon I began running, and I ran as fast as I could run, running for home. And I can remember so well running up that street and running up those brick steps and running across our porch and running through the door and closing the door. Safe. I'm home. God is home. God is our safety. God is our security. In Him, we are safe. We are at home. The person and the presence of God, that is the ground of our security. The promise of God, don't you see it there again in that 27th verse? He says, underneath are the everlasting arms. Is that not the unconditional, the glorious promise of Almighty God? Our ground is the person and presence of God. The ground of our security is the promise of God. Underneath are His arms. God is in heaven. And the God who is in heaven is the God who is with His people on earth below, and He holds them and He bears them up in His arms. Isaiah, again, says it so well in Isaiah chapter 40 at verse 10. He says, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and His arm rules for Him. See, His reward is with Him, and His recompense accompanies Him. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers His lambs in His arms, and He carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those who have young." That strong arm of God with which He rules the universe is that same arm that He places under the backs of His children and lifts them to His heart. He carries us even as a shepherd carries his lambs. The promise of God, beloved. Underneath are the everlasting arms. His strength is never exhausted. He never lets us go. He never fails. You saw the television news that I did not long ago about the floods in the Midwest and the tragic story of the two little fellows who were out on a lake And the wind came up and the waters became strong. And these two little brothers, one about 9, the other, I think, about 6, the boat tipped over. They were in the water. And the older brother held the boat, and he held his little brother as long as he could. But he could not hold him very long. And the television cameras recorded the anguish on that little boy's face as he cried, "I held him, I held him, I held him as long as I could." Oh, beloved, there's one who holds us forever. As long as he could is forever. For our God's arm is an everlasting arm. He never fails. He never lets us go. Our security is grounded on that promise. The promise of the God who is with us. Our security is grounded on His perfect work. Didn't you see it there in that 29th verse, that blessed work of God? Does He not say, "Who is like you, Lord of Israel, a people, who is like you, Israel, a people saved by the Lord? He is your shield and helper. He is your glorious sword. He is your shield, your weapon of defense. He is your sword, your weapon of offense. He is the God who fully saves. His work is perfect. He is before you. He is behind you. He is around you. He is over you. He is under you. God's work is perfect." And is He not telling us that our security, grounded upon the person, the presence, the promise, the perfect work, that security is grounded also upon the perpetual love of this great God? Verse 3, "Surely it is you who love your people." And again, verse 29, "Who are you, O Israel? Who is a people like you saved by the Lord?" The objects of the love of Jehovah, of the everlasting saving love of Jehovah. He loves His people. He loves them everlastingly. But someone might ask, "Wait a minute. This is Moses' blessing upon Israel. I mean, he goes through the tribes here. Oh, he leaves out one or two and he includes Joseph. But this is the blessing upon Israel. What's the connection between this and between us? How can we be connected to this? This is Israel's blessing. This is not our blessing." Oh, beloved, don't you see the connection? Look again at verse 5. "He was king over Jeshurun." Verse 26. "There is no one like the God of Jeshurun." Who is Jeshurun? The word means the upright one, the righteous one. It's a word for Israel, for the Son of God. Well, that's what we were just saying. This is for Israel, it's not for us. Well, wait a minute. Jeshurun, Israel, the Son of God. Last week, Skip preached about the Magi. And he spoke about the fact that Joseph had to take his wife and his little son to Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod. And after Herod died, Joseph was able to come again with his little family back to Bethlehem, back then finally to Nazareth. And what does Matthew tell us in the second chapter? Does he not tell us that when Joseph and his little family were called out of Egypt to come back to Bethlehem and then to Nazareth, that fulfilled the prophecy, "Out of Egypt have I called my son"? And don't you remember that that's a quotation from Hosea 11:1? Where we're told that Jehovah loves Israel, and out of Egypt He calls His Son. Who is Israel? Who is the Son of God? Who is Jeshurun? Beloved, is Jesus. Jesus is the greater Israel. Jesus is the true Prince of God. Jesus is the righteous one. Jesus is that one who was called out of Egypt. Jesus is the Savior of His people. That's the connection. Jesus. This promise is yours. This blessing is ours. Because it's ours in Jesus Christ. He is Jeshurun. And the connection with Jeshurun is faith. And that's mentioned again in verse 3. It is you who love the people. All the holy ones are in your hand. At your feet they all bow down, and from you receive instruction. Don't you realize, surely many of you already have, that most of those who heard this blessing, this prophecy from the mouth of Moses, died in the desert? This blessing from God Almighty, given to this very people, they died. They bowed their necks against God. They rebelled against His authority. They rejected His word, and they died. And most of the nation of the Israel through the years, the millennia, have bowed their necks against the word of God and refused to accept Jeshurun. Well, what happens to the blessing then? Oh, don't you see it? Who is it who receives the blessing? Those who bow down, who receive instruction, who by God's grace through faith lay hold upon Him who is the righteous one, Israel, the Prince, the Son of God. These are they who are made willing in the day of God's salvation. These are they whose hearts are changed and who, rather than bowing their necks, bow the knee and confess with their tongue that the blessings of God are God Himself. God is the ground of their security. But what's our connection with Jeshurun? What's our connection with Jesus, the Christ? It's just that, beloved. It's faith by the grace of God. We believe. We bow the knee. And we submit to the word of Him who has spoken to us in Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Our security, you see, is in the person and the presence of God. And the person and the presence of God have come to us in the Word, Jesus. Did you hear that? He dwelt among us. And you know that the word dwelt there is a translation of the word, He tabernacled among us. That is, He pitched His tent among us. That is, He built His home, His mansion among us. When we are in Jesus, we're home. When we're in Jesus by grace through faith, we are brought into the tent, into the house, into the mansion, into the family of God by faith. And it's Jesus, you see, who is that one who actually is the very promise of God. Our security is based upon that promise. And what is the promise? That the Good Shepherd will take us in His arms and carry us forever, even unto glory. And are these not the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in John 10 says, I am the Good Shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice. You see, they don't bow, they bow. They bow to the instruction. They receive the word. He says, my sheep listen. They hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And it's Jesus' perfect work which is the ground of our security. In Romans 8, 31. What then? What shall we say in response to this? This great salvation wrought by the sovereign God. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? It's in Christ, beloved. It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died. More than that, who was raised again, who is at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. His perfect work. Jehovah's perfect work. Jehovah Jesus' perfect work is the ground of our security. and his perpetual love, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, I am convinced. The Darbys were convinced. The parents of that beautiful little girl. The folk in the nursing home and at the children's hospital. And millions of God's people around the world are convinced that God is their security. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is our security. What must I do to be safe, to be secure, to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. For to as many as received him, to them gave he authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have safety, security, salvation, everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be secure in the new year. Let us pray. The great God in heaven, we do thank thee for thy truth and pray that thou wouldst bless thy truth to our hearts, that we might know and that we might actually feel the security which belongs to those who belong to Christ, him who is our great shepherd and who has promised that in him we shall not want. We pray in his matchless name. Amen.